Let the church say amen. God is good. And all the time, God is good. This morning, we have been blessed once again. This is not the first time most of us have been blessed, but this is another time that we have been blessed. And we ought to be ever thankful to God for blessing us. You know, despite what we think and what we feel, it doesn't really matter. It's what God tells us to do in His Word. And we must obey His Word if we want to stay on the right path. It's good to see all of you this morning. And it's good to be here this morning. We sometimes take for granted the things that we have in this life. And sometimes when we take for granted those things, we tend to misuse and abuse certain things and certain privileges that we have. But God is good and God is a blessing unto us, and let us continue to remember that. This morning the scripture was read for your hearing from Luke the 24th chapter, starting at verses 1 through 6. This morning we're going to use for a message, "The stone is gone." The stone is gone. Let us take a few moments and go to God in prayer. O blessed and righteous Heavenly Father, thank You for the blessing this morning that You gave us. You gave us the blessing of waking up, getting up, and being able to use our limbs, our minds, and our bodies. Some of us not as well as others, but nevertheless, You have given us those things to use. And thank You, Lord, if they are working at all. Thank You, O Heavenly Father, for being a blessing and showering us with Your blessings. Thank You, O Heavenly Father, that one day in the past, You sent Your Son to this world to hang, bleed, and die on our behalf. And I thank You, Lord, and I think that for the most part, all of us are thankful for that, O Lord. If not, we should be. Thank You, O Heavenly Father, that Your will has been done in all of our lives and that it shall be done in all of our lives. This morning, Father, as we come before the footstool of Thy mighty throne to thank You for all the blessings that You give us, Lord, they are too numerous to call each and every one of us, each and every one of them, but nevertheless, we thank You for them. Father, we pray and thank You for Your Son as He brought us this church this morning, O Heavenly Father, the Church of Christ. Thank You, Father, for His death on yonder's cross, that we might continue to serve in what He left, the legacy that He left us. Thank You, Lord. Thank You for those who are in the audience this morning. And thank You, O Heavenly Father, for all of those who are here with their family, friends, and loved ones, and with the saints who serve here at Stony Island. Thank You, O Heavenly Father, for the leaders of this congregation and their families. Thank You for the men and brethren who have taken part in the services thus far and for their families also. Thank You for all of the blessings, Father, that You have given us. Father, we thank You for this day. And Father, as the days roll on by, each and every one of them, Lord, we want to give thanks and praise for Your name's sake. Thank You for everything, O Lord, and it's in the name of Your Son, Jesus, we pray and ask it all. Amen. In our society today, we call this Easter Sunday. In reality, it is the Lord's Day just like every other first day of the week. Yes, it is true that Jesus rose on the third day after His crucifixion. It was not what we proclaim as Easter. As a matter of fact, there is only one reference found in the Word of God referring to Easter, and that's in Acts chapter 12 and verse number 4. And it certainly is not pertaining directly to Christ, but instead is a reference to the Passover. This reference was in the mind of Herod the king, who was intent on arresting Peter and to hold him to appease a crowd that they might have a public trial and perhaps an execution. But that's not what's important. What is important today is that we serve the living God, and He is still alive. Let us look at the effects of the resurrection that it had upon the believers, both now as well as then. Because of the resurrection, faith was restored. Faith was restored. Peter was one who walked and talked with Jesus, but still he was like many of us today. He suffered with waning faith. One might say that, might use the phrase out of sight and out of mind. Notice his reaction and his actions as he stood by the burning fire. First in Luke 22 and verse number 54, he followed Jesus afar off, first of all. That's the same effect some have today when we are satisfied as long as the conversation doesn't include Jesus. In verse number 55, Peter went further. He sat down by the fire. He had become so comfortable. I want you to notice just how comfortable he had gotten. He was no longer following Jesus. Instead, he had sat down by the fire. He had sat down by the fire, and we as Christians, we've got to learn to be careful of whom we associate with, and we've got to learn to be careful that we do not deny Jesus. But Peter denied him not one time, not two times, but a total of three times. When we lose our faith, we lose our joy. When we lose our joy, we are subject to do anything that comes to mind when we have walked out of our joy and when we have lost our joy. David asked God to restore unto him the joy of his salvation. In Psalms, a Christian ought to be joyful to know that the Lord is as a faith, the Lord will help us when our faith dwindles. And we got to understand when our faith dwindles, so does our joy. We may lose our faith because of disappointments. Sometimes it's a tragedy when it strikes in our lives. Many lose faith when they don't feel that God has answered their prayer, not understanding that God's answer may simply be, I want you to wait for a little while. I have something better in mind for you. Other times it may be just wait for a while I decide what I'm going to do. Most of us expect a yes answer each and every time that we pray. We're not going to always get a yes answer when we pray. We're not always going to get a no answer. Sometimes the notice something there. Watch what a little faith at work
Okay, we had a little mic problem there. He knows the way we are going and the way of our afflictions. We may not know the way of our afflictions, but God does. All we have to do is be faithful and trust in Him, who knows everything about us, who knows all about us. But I like when the women went to the tomb and the Bible says they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. As they were afraid and bowed down their faces upon the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? Listen to this, church. He is not there. He is not here. But He is risen. Remember how He spake unto you when He was yet in Galilee? Jesus is not in the tomb today. Thank God for that. He is not there because the stone is gone. The stone is no longer hiding the spot where Jesus lay. Now, they may have put something up there now, but the stone that was there then is gone. Because of the resurrection, because of the trust we have in Him who knows all and sees all, because that stone is gone, fellowship was renewed. There is no better feeling than as believers knowing that Jesus has risen. When the church membership has become fewer, when the collection has become lower, and oh yes, the collection gets lower, and sometimes we need to ask you to put in a little bit more in the collection when you know you ought to put in the best you can up front, but sometimes we have to ask to put in a little bit more. When the membership has become fewer, when the collection has become lower, and when no one seems to care anymore, know that there is peace in Jesus. In Luke 24 and 36, Jesus stood in the midst of them and said, what? Peace be unto you. The believers of Christ, after His crucifixion, had began to drift apart. They had drifted apart. Some of them even went back to their jobs and some of them were fishermen and they had went back to fishing again. And the believers of Christ, after His crucifixion, after they drifted apart, They went back to their normal routines. And sometimes we as Christians, we forget and we get lax in our faith and we sometimes tend to go back to what we used to do. And you know, that's a dangerous thing to do what we used to do, some of us. And as I often say, I use the preacher as an example because I know the preacher. I know that the preacher was not always living the best kind of life that he should have been living. But then one day the preacher came upon Jesus. He came upon Jesus and now his life is a little bit different. It's totally different than what it used to be. Now I'm not saying that I'm the best. I have my faults too, just like you do. But what I am saying is that I learn better. And so I should be doing better. And so should you. And if you're not, you need to retake the hand of Jesus once again. So the believers of Christ, after His crucifixion, after they had drifted apart, they had lost track, some of them, of Jesus. Sometimes we feel as if there's no reason to continue to go to church. How many times have you felt like that? I don't feel like going up there to that church no more. I don't feel like being bothered with the people no more. I don't feel like things are going right up there. I just don't feel right in the church anymore. Well, you don't have to feel right. The church is right. So if you don't feel right about the church, you're saying you're turning your back on the Lord. Because do you remember in Matthew chapter 18 and verse number 20, where Jesus said, wherever two or more are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them? Oh, yes. Today we serve that same Lord and Savior. If there's but one or two things that Christians need to hold things together for Christians, it shall be the fact that the stone is gone and the tomb where He once lay is empty. We need to recall that Christ was, still, and still is our Savior. Now I know what they say around here. They say, This is the day we are supposed to dress up. This is the day we bring the kids in their Easter finery. This is the day some of us even still dress up and come in our Easter finery. But I'll tell you something. I have a blockage about that, and I think I told you this before. I go back to when I was age 4. And I remember it just like I remember it yesterday, where my parents put me in a little burgundy coat, a little maroon coat as it was called then, a little maroon coat, and put me on a little tie and said I had to stand up and say a speech. I didn't like that, and I still don't like that. I remember that. So see, the connotation of Easter Sunday brings back unpleasant memories for me. I just call it the Lord's Day, and I'm more content with it then, because that's what it is. Do you remember when you first became a Christian? You remember how glad you were and how ready you were to be in fellowship one with another? How you wanted to be the greatest Christian in the church? How you wanted to be the best Christian of all? Well, Jesus is still sending that same message. If you've left the Lord, you need to come back to me, Jesus is saying. Christians are not happy when they're not in fellowship with the Savior. The Bible states in Mark 16 and verse 7, after the women discovered the stone was gone, they were given a message and told, go your way and tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. Simply naming the disciples seemed like it would have been enough, but for instead, Peter's name was called out separately, leading me to believe that this was to let Peter know that he would be welcomed back by Jesus. He welcomed all who will come back to him. That includes you as well as me. That includes any of us who need to come back. And you say, well, I haven't been anywhere. Well, if you've been a guilty distance from the throne, if you haven't been coming to church, if you haven't been serving the Lord, if you don't have a reasonable excuse like you were sick and in the hospital, like you were working, you need to come back to the Lord once again. You need to come back and go back to serving the Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. All who will are welcome to come back. If you find yourself out of fellowship with Him, you definitely need to come back. I'm so glad this morning that the stone is gone. I'm glad that the stone is gone because I know that the God that we serve this morning is a living God and not a dead God. I know that the Lord we serve this morning is not in a tomb, but instead He is in heaven. Look what the Bible says again in verse 6. He is not here, but is risen. And remember how He spake unto you when He was yet in Galilee? He told them, we can extend that and go to verse 7. He said, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hand of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again. Well, I thank God that that third day has come and He has risen and He is the resurrected Lord. But I thank Him because the stone is gone, because therefore our preaching is not in vain. And when a preacher preaches the Word of God, he can speak with confidence because the stone was gone and still is gone. On that morning when the women went to the tomb, in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 14, it puts it like this. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. And verse 15 says, yea, and we have found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He raised not up. If so be that the dead rise not. If I can't trust in the Word of the Bible, if I can't trust in the Lord's Word, then I'm just a living a total lie. But I believe what the Bible says. If what so many preachers preach on the Lord's Day be a lie, then we too are liars. And the faith of the church members, what they have is simply not true. Therefore, all of us are as liars. But thank God we are not liars, because God did get up out of the tomb. Remember what the text says. He is not here, He is not there. He is not there. He is in heaven with His Heavenly Father and my Heavenly Father and your Heavenly Father. If we just think for a moment, God did not lie, and realize that God did not, cannot, and does not, will not lie, according to Hebrews chapter 6 and verse number 18. If we but think for a moment, if the stone be not gone and Christ did not rise, the preachers of yesterday and today and tomorrow are preaching false doctrine. What Peter said, what Peter preached, what Paul preached, all would be lies. Don't you understand, church, that we must trust in the Word of God. We must accept the Word of God. We can't rewrite the Word of God. The Word of God is already here, and none of us can rewrite it. It's already here, and I just thank God this morning that the Bible said He is not here. The stone is gone. Don't let this become a hindrance to your faith. We must continue to walk by faith and not by sight. How many times have you said, well, I don't think I'll go to church today. I think I'm going to just hang out. Well, that's what you're saying. I'm not going to go to church today. I'm going to stay in bed for a little while. And then you find yourself just tossing from one side of the bed to the other side of the bed. And if you toss too far one direction, you'll hit the floor. And you say to yourself, I just don't feel like going today. Well, I got some news for you. When Jesus comes, where is He coming to? He's coming for His house, for His church. And if you're not there, you may miss Him. That's enough reason in itself to be at church. But not only that, Hebrews 10:25 tells us we are to meet together when the doors of the church swing open. When the assembly is assembled, we need to be there. We must continue, as I said, to walk by faith and not by sight. You can't see the fact that everything that the Bible tells us to do, but we trust that it's true. Christ got up from the grave. I don't want you to be mistaken about it. We can continue to trust in the Lord for our hope. We can continue to trust in the Lord that one day we too shall rise and be forever with the Lord. When you think about it, that's a wonderful promise that one day we can live again. We can all rise to live with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes I think to myself, I say, if I don't live my life right here on earth, I'm not going to be able to get to heaven to meet the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'll meet Him and He'll turn me away and send me to the other place. But I want to go up to heaven. And I'll tell you, to be honest with you, you all probably want to go there too. That's what you ought to be able to, that's what you ought to be looking forward to us to. Let us today understand that we need to go back to the cross. Revisit the tomb where the stone was gone from. Go back to when we were full of excitement. Simply because we had become a Christian. Galatians verse 6, chapter 6 and verse number 9 tells us, let us not be weary, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. We've got to learn to stand up, stay there, and be there. If the Lord calls, we've got to remember to have our life in order. Do you remember old Hezekiah? How that the Lord had sent word to him that he was going to die, and he rolled over and began to pray to the Lord how good he had been and what he had done for the Lord, and the Lord gave him some more time. Well, I can't promise you that the Lord will give us any more time when our time comes. As a matter of fact, I can't even promise you that He's going to send word to us. We may not know, as we know not the day nor the hour when the Lord shall call upon us. And if we faint not, we can stay the course. That's talking to us, church. That's not talking to non-believers or unbelievers. We've got to continue in the faith and know that Christ is alive and well. Just hold on for a little while. We shall see the risen Lord. I know He is risen because the Bible said He was not there. I know He is risen because the tomb is empty. I know that He has risen, and I'm not insinuating that He rose on this, what we call Easter Sunday. I'm just letting you know what the Bible said. He is not here. He is not there, church. When I think more and more I think about it, the more and more I get used to the fact that we serve a living God, and that the God that we serve is not in the tomb. The God that we serve is not in the grave. The God that we serve, we know, is sitting on the right hand of His Father. When you think about it, if you have a choice, if we have a choice, and we do, which side do you want to be on? The side that goes to heaven or the side that goes to hell? Think about it and get your life in order. I think that many of us have been led to believe that hell is not real. But it is. It's a real place. And someday, one day, some of us are going to wind up there. And I don't know who's going to wind up there, and I don't know who's going to be there. But one thing I do know, that there's only two places you have to go to. One is heaven and one is hell. And if you're not living right, chances are, and I'm not making a judgment call, but chances are you're going to hell. There's just no doubt about that. But now I know that we serve a just God too. And I know that the just God can send us to heaven if He chooses to. I know that the just God, the living God, can send us anywhere He pleases. But if we live our lives right, we have more of a chance at going to heaven than hell. And act like I always tell you, don't ask for my help then. I'm trying to give you a little help now. You know, but as I help myself, I'm trying to help you. As I go along my way, I'm trying to let you know what the way is to go, what the right way to go is. And when I look at the world today, I look at just this past weekend, how violent this past weekend has been. People are getting killed for no reason, for unlikely reasons, for no reasons at all. Now, I'm thinking to myself, what can you say and what can you do that upsets a person so much that he wants to kill you? Somebody said two young men were killed because something they said on Facebook. It's as simple as that. You cut a driver off out in the street, he may drive up to you at the next light and just blow your brains out. You know, I wonder sometimes, why can't we go back to the old ways? When every time you walk down the street, you met someone, they spoke to you. What happened to the old ways when every time you got yourself into it, let's say you just got sick, the neighbors would bring you soup or dinner. What happened to the old ways when people just cared about one another? I'm just sorry that we don't live the way we used to live back in those days. There are a few of us who still try to do our very best. The Lord is still doing the same thing He always did. He got up from the grave. He was doing good before He went in the grave. After He got up out of the grave, He's still doing good. He's blessing us each and every day. And if you don't think that life is a blessing for you, try the alternative. I just know that somewhere in this big world, somebody has a heart today. Somebody has a heart that needs mending today. And we can be a blessing to those people that are suffering from broken heart. And I don't mean they're brokenhearted because they lost the love of their life. But if they left Jesus, they did in fact lose the love of their life. But I'm talking about the earthly level of the life, of their lives. I'm talking about just suffering because of disappointment, heartache, sickness, illness, being broken up. You know, and I mean bones broken and things like that. But I know one thing. There is a God that we serve that's able to fix everything. A God that we serve that's able to take care of all of us. And He does it long distance. He can send a blessing, dispatch a blessing from heaven to reach earth in just the nick of time to save all of us. Now, in this modern age of technology, when we're so wired up, when we're so technologically advanced, we sometimes don't treat people the way we used to. We used to call a person or sit down and have a conversation with a person. Now we email them or text them. We used to speak to people and say, I know I heard you wasn't feeling too good, and I just hope you feel better. Can I do anything for you today? We don't do that anymore. We say, I'll see you when you get better. We don't say it in those words, but that's what we do. I'll see you when you get better. We don't do like what we used to do. And when somebody rings your doorbell today, we go to the door and we talk to them behind the door. We don't open the door anymore because you don't know who you're opening the door to. And I'm saying all this simply to say one thing, that God is still alive and God is still well and God is real. And if you think that He's not real, look at some of the blessings that you have received and try to figure out where they came from. And I'll bet you'll find that you don't know half the reasons behind your blessings. But I know the reasons behind your blessing. And if you look at it, you'll understand those reasons too. And you'll know where your blessings came from. When you sit down and you eat a piece of pot roast, let's say, you didn't kill the cow that brought the roast, but there was a farmer or somebody who raised him and somebody else who slaughtered him, and then Jewel got the meat and you went and bought the meat and then you cooked it. That's a blessing because you're not hungry anymore. I thank God that God is alive today. And if you don't believe it, that God is alive, just look around you and see the blessings that are in this world for us. But we must be able in a position to receive those blessings. How do we get those blessings? Well, we come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized to become a member of the Lord's body. And if you walked astray, and church folk walk astray, you know that? Sometimes the church folk walk astray. Sometimes the preacher walks astray. I'm not beyond walking astray, and neither are you. Sometimes, when it just seems like it's just the right thing to do, but you know it's the wrong thing to do, but it seems like it's the right thing. You have to look back and see that the stone is now gone and that the God that you serve is not a dead God, but a living God. And so you must be careful. You must ask yourself this question. Where do I want to live my eternity? And then once you ask yourself that question and you give yourself the answer, you'll know which side you stand on. If you want to stand with the Lord today, as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.
Number 255. 255. Have a listening.